something went on here, something went on there. And
this time on TNT.
The Torrens family vacation-ish.
I have evidence of that tree shaking around with all the Christmas lights on it.
And I have a new favorite Christmas carol, buds. A few of them, actually. It's all coming up right now on TNT.
Hello.
Well, I gotta tell you, bud.
What's up, bud?
I'm a little banged up.
You're banged up, are you?
Yeah, not on the adult beverages, just on the hecticness of life.
What's the matter? Just a heavy week?
Well, so in the last 7 days, as you know, travel is a lot. Travel at this time of year is a lot. Travel at this time of year during restrictive challenges, it just adds a whole other layer. So last Sunday, drove to Halifax to get a brain scrape so I could fly to Sudbury and do my last day on Shorzy.
Mm-hmm.
Fly up there Monday, work Tuesday, have to get a COVID test before I can go to work.
Mm-hmm.
Fly home Wednesday. As we've talked a lot about, so much disappointment for the children. And there's a bit of a spike here in Nova Scotia right now. So in the last week, both girls' concerts, one was canceled and one went virtual. So they're like, man, come on. So yeah. We'd had, as you know, Carol and I had this false start to Boston mm-hmm. a couple weeks ago. And we were like, you know what? Put a smile on the kids' faces. Let's go to Boston. And take the dog. So the six of us get in the car and drive. Oh. We get across the border. And then things start to go bananas in Nova Scotia while we're gone.
Yeah.
With this St. Evex ring ceremony spike. And suddenly hundreds of new cases a day, which is new turf for us in Nova Scotia.
That's like a whole new one, yeah.
New records every day with the number
of people.
It
feels like you have to say this new variant, like you can only scream it like from the top of a mountain. I know.
Omicron International Hotel, Omicron International Airport. I know. It just seems like a transformer or something.
It just spreads like a beast. And so that's the scary part, right? Yeah. Okay. So everything's
so we go to Boston and
again.
We're like, you know what? Most of the time we're staying in the car. Some of the time we'll be in the hotel. There's a lounge at the hotel where you can go and kind of keep to yourself. We'll go for walks outside. We're not going to a Bruins game, right?
Yeah.
We're going to keep it pretty low key. It's not a time of year you would do a lot of shopping for yourself because Christmas is just around the corner. So we're going to keep it pretty low key, but we're still going to go because mm-hmm. we've had so many, no, we can't. Sorry about that. Things have changed. Sorry about that. Like, as you know, yeah. Suge was playing Sweet Child of Mine and Jingle Bell Rock in the Rock Band concert. Canceled.
Yeah.
Indy and Suge had worked out this Silent Night fake out. Did I tell you about it?
Silent Night fake out?
So for Indy's piano recital, they're going to start with, they're doing it together, and it goes, Silent Night, hold on. Let's do something more upbeat, and then they launch into rum pa pa pum pa pum pa pum pum. Yeah, I'm on the drum. Yeah, I'm on the sweet drum. This Justin Bieber rap from his version of Little Drummer Boy.
Classic.
Gone
just
virtual.
Ripping it. Just good times. Gone yeah. virtual. So gone yeah, virtual. On the computer.
Indy's school Christmas concert gone virtual. So that's why we're like, you know what? Even if we just stay together, we're going to the Boston. Didn't anticipate. I don't know why. Should have. You need a test to get back into Canada, of course, knew that.
Yeah.
But it's hard to get an appointment because everyone's going everywhere all the time.
Yeah.
So the only option for appointment was to order in. So nurse Allie comes to the hotel and does a test for Carol and me.
Those are $500 though.
Yep. Yes, they are.
$500 each.
Carol mentions in passing that night, like, so we're sure that the girls don't need tests. I was like, well, I'm pretty sure they're 12 and under. Go on the Google. Right. They need tests too.
Yep.
So I had to find tests in New Hampshire yesterday to go.
So that's like flights, basically.
Basically.
Tests.
So we went to New Hampshire, got tests. Of course, we needed results the same day because we were hoping to cross the border.
Yeah.
So we're into the tests for, I'm going to say, 1,700 Canadian, just to come home after 2 days. Heard a vague rumor that if you're gone for 3 days or less, you don't need tests, which we chose to not research after we'd spent the dough. But the first thing they asked for at the border was the tests.
I think they switched it around again in the last week again. They're like, oh, no, you got to get a test now.
Like within 24 hours or something, maybe.
Yeah, because it's just been so crazy right now.
So you have to, when you arrive back in Canada, as I'm sure a lot of buds know, you have to get this CanArrive app. And on the CanArrive app, you take pictures of your vaccinations and you take pictures of your passport and you apply. So Carol and I are going to be re-entering Canada yesterday. Then when we discovered we had to get tests for the girls, you can't add them to your CanArrive application. And they're minors, so you can't put in a CanArrive application for the two of them. So we get to the border and we have 4 negative tests, 4 passports, everyone's proof of vaccination and stuff, but it's not on the same file because you can't technologically do that. So it's one of those, like, pull the car over, come on inside, we'll get you sorted. Delete your application, apply again with everyone on the same thing. It's just a donkey clinic out there.
So did you eventually get to Boston, or did you just say, forget it, let's go home?
Oh, yeah. This was on the way back. We did get to Boston. We kept it low-key. In fact, in some ways, it was more bananas here than it was down there, especially because we kept our bubble small and, you know, didn't go out and eat in restaurants or anything. We didn't crush some Olive Garden. In fact,
that's the same here. It's just been like sitting around in the house, go out, get some food, bring it back in. Well, I mean, now that it's over 3,300 cases plus, again, the biggest concern, I know that being vaccinated, I'll, you know, probably might just be a mild thing, but like Lisa's mom's here, and that's where it ends. Like, we can't roll the dice with something like that, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
An older person. So yeah, that's it's lockdown again, basically. Yeah.
I know all the hassle and all the added expense and all of it is no one's fault. It's just a layer designed to help sort of create a colander and catch cases as they come into Canada, and I'm all for it. The only thing worse than not getting tested would have been to get to the border and they don't even ask for it.
Yeah, for sure.
And I also know, like, anyone would be right to say, well, you guys chose to do that. That's absolutely true. And weighing all of the reasons for not against the reasons for, Carol, who always puts them first, her default was like, all they've heard for over a year is sorry, no, oops, can't, not going to happen. So even a modified version of this trip felt more important than not going. But turned into a pricey little 60 hours.
Oh,
to tell
man,
you that,
no
but.
Kidding. I heard that from a teacher that math, for example, like for grades, like, you know, say like 4, 5, 6, kids aren't, like, they don't know their times tables.
Wow.
Because it's just been
2 years
of just like, huh, what I'm doing, you know, online. It's just, there's been this gap of like the stuff that you kind of have to be face to face and just keep hammering to get, you know?
Well, that's the thing about math, especially at that age, because it's a foundation and everything you learn from here on out kind of builds on that. So if you're sketched out on that, it's going to be tricky for you. This is really going to be hard on people's well-being, happiness, mental health, all that stuff, if we go back there.
Yeah, well, I mean, we are kind of there. I think that now it's almost at that position where it's like, well, if you continue, then it's just going to spread faster. They've limited gatherings to under 10 and under here now. Yeah, I think, live events are 50% capacity. Jeez. And like gyms and places like that. So I don't know. And the fact that this is way more transmissible is this. I think I heard a stat of the Delta variant. On average, one person would give it to another person. Like one person would,
one for one.
One for one. This is apparently four people for everyone.
Woof.
So that kind of makes sense that the numbers are kind of jumping, although it doesn't necessarily mean it's a more severe case that you would get. For example, I heard a friend of mine that's on tour, their whole, I won't say who it is, but out of 12 people, five of them tested positive, and they were all double vax, with exception to the one guy I know that had his booster, and he didn't get it. But of those cases, the five cases, they were just like runny nose, very mild.
Wow.
But again, this is protection to the vulnerable.
So what do they do? Do they shut her down?
It's over. They cancel shows. They go home. You know, it's been a lot of different bands that's happened to. And you just got to shut it down.
Imagine you booked like a year ago. Surely February 2022, we should be good to go.
And then this sneaky one sneaks. So it's getting to the point where it's like, what are you supposed to do? And, you know, you can, but like, this is the time more than ever to stick by the guns and do everything you can for the science and all of that to try and get out of this, because you have idiots that are saying, see, it doesn't do nothing. Vaccines don't work at all. That's the dumbest thing in the world to say, because, again, this has been spreading in countries where there's very low vaccination rates. And that's why you're getting multiple variants of this. So again, it has to be, the world has to get tests and has to get vaccines to countries that don't have them. And there has to be more rapid testing. The kids finally got rapid test kits in their schools. So they got like five each. Jack did one yesterday.
How'd it go?
It's great. It can, you know, you get one line for negative and two for positive, and it happens in minutes. You know, like, where were these a year ago? You just take it in the morning, and you're you're not going out with it, you know.
At the Halifax airport, they're like, how many do you want, bud?
Yeah,
I don't know, can I have six? Sure.
Yeah, so that's a huge part of it. If everybody can kind of regulate their own scene, that makes it a lot easier as well. That should have been happening from day one. Because if you take it, you're not going anywhere. You know, you're like, damn, right? You know, as opposed to just going out and next thing you know, you have it. It's just, I don't understand. And it makes total sense that you can slow things down with things like that. So anyway, here we are where it's worse than ever. But you just have to continue the right steps and not listen to the BS. That's all it is. It's frustrating as it is, because you want to just say, forget it, I don't care anymore, like it's too much. No, because there's people in our lives that can't get this. You don't want them to have to go through that. So
when I crossed, I was randomly selected for additional COVID testing, and Indy, because she has one of two doses so far because she just became eligible.
Yep.
We got tests to do at home. And it's actually pretty wild. You go on Switch Health and register your serial number and wait in the line. And then a health professional pops on the Zoom and they watch you do the test. Like, they verify your ID and they verify the serial number. And then they talk you through doing the test, and they watch you. Like, I'm so naive, but of course people would try to cheat it or circumnavigate it or not do it or whatever. And there are fines and penalties if you don't. But what a great use of technology. Hi, I'm Vina. I'm your medical health person. Open the thing. Show me the thing. Let me see the thing. Ram it in your nose. Okay, that's good. Now the other nostril. You put it in a Purolator envelope, and they pick it up from our doorstep tomorrow.
Crazy.
So this is the crazy thing. Like, what line item in the Canadian government budget does that come from? How much is that?
Oh, I know. A lot. Like, but it's there. You ever see how nice, how fancy the Parliament buildings are and how they update it every 2 seconds? And if there's a, you know what I mean, the amount of money that's spent and the, you know, there's a lot of dough up there. So these are the kind of things I like to see happen. Like when you see paved roads or a hospital, you know, instead of like a new Range Rover for the guy that drives people to and from Parliament.
My father-in-law told me in some cases, like when the economy is slow, and maybe everyone knows this, it had never occurred to me before, they will create jobs like, well, we should repave this road then to get people working. Never occurred to me before that they would just do that so that they could employ people. But I guess that makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Anyway. So anyway, it's been a crazy week for me too.
Let's hear it.
We went to Pembroke because unfortunately Belle, Lisa's mom's partner, passed away. So
sad.
That was very unfortunate.
How old was Belle?
92.
Wow.
And Belford Plotz, he was a legend of a man. Like, man, like every time you talk to him, he'd have some story of hanging out with, you know, he had a resort in Barry's Bay where bands would come and play, and he was like hanging out with legends, like crazy. Like, I think he was like Louis Armstrong and like the biggest of the biggest, just like rolling through and hanging out and fishing or whatever.
Did you say Belford? Bell is short for Belford?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, Carol O'Connor, you know, all in
the
family.
No way.
Archie, like just all these crazy stories of, like Neil Sedaka coming to like hang out for the weekend.
So Bell had some mad cheddar.
Yeah, he was also like an outdoorsman, so he would do a lot of hunting and fishing and work in the woods. Like, for example, like in the 50s when he was, I don't know, in his early 20s, he was, or in the 40s or something, he was in out in BC, and a logging company, they had to move the logging, the actual logging facility over a mountain, I guess, to get to a new place for more logging. But literally, like, with horses carrying all this stuff over a mountain. And he's, like, telling me a story of, like, he was on his horse and a pack of wolves came and made the horse, you know, go on its hind legs and he fell off, like, while he's, like, pulling up stuff across a mountaintop. Like, just insane stories, man. Like out in the bush for months. Just one of those guys of just, and so nice. He owned a car dealership and he was a fantastic salesman and he loved cars and he just made Lisa's mom very happy. They were great friends. They'd watch all the sports and stuff every day. He would come down even towards the end when it was, his feet were so sore, he would still come downstairs and hang out. And such a sad, you know, sad story, because even though he was 92, you know, you almost don't want to say his age because people, oh, that's a long, great life. It felt too soon. I thought he was going to live to be over 100 for sure because he was so healthy, you know. So anyway, rest in peace, Bell. He's a great man.
And, so how is Lisa's mom doing?
It's hard. I mean, she's it's difficult for her because they were so close, and for, you know, they both helped each other a lot. So it's difficult, but it's at least she's here with us now, and all her family's here, and the kids are always around, and so she, that helps for sure.
How long were they rocking together? Nice.
Well, they were actually friends. They knew each other growing up. So they, and actually, Belle's wife Mary was Shirley was friends with her. So they kind of grew up together.
Neat.
So when they both lost their husbands and wife, they kind of kept in contact, and they just started to, they became friends shortly after. And so I don't know, I think probably 20 years, you know?
Wow.
Around there, yeah.
You hear that happening sometimes, like, it makes sense, right? You've both gone through something kind of similar, you know each other, you have a history. It kind of, in some ways, makes sense that you would, you know, see each other through that.
Well, what's memories if you can't share them with people that recognize them, right?
Yeah.
Like, when you're thinking back of things and you're with people that don't remember anything that you remember, it's not as cool. You know, it sucks.
Not nearly as cool.
Yeah. So, it's frustrating in that regard, but I mean, we had some great moments, and we've been talking about it, and just as, there's been some nice feelings of his presence in a way, you know, so that's kind of cool too.
So how's she doing with, like, is she officially living with you guys now?
Yep.
Or she's staying with you for a bit? Yeah. Or she's there?
Yeah, she's here. That's it. She lives here now. We have to obviously go and take care of her stuff, and I think they'll probably sell the house in the spring in Pembroke, something like that.
Was it their house? She and Belle lived together?
Belle's house. Ah. Belle's house, yeah. She lived with him.
And does he have, like, children and family people around you?
Yes. Yeah. It was a nice little service, and Paul and Dan, his sons, are. It was nice to see them again, and Venetia, his granddaughter, and all the little kids. You know, it's a great family and really caring people. It's kind of at that thing here, you know, where it's a family, and now Shirley has kind of a different situation, but there's still a hell of a lot of love flying around in here. So,
are the kids happy to have her there?
Absolutely, for sure, definitely. Even Rebel loves her.
Aww.
Yeah, because I think when she has something to eat, he gets something. One of those, so he's got this, like, super, like, runs over and just hangs out with her all the time, so it's pretty cool.
It's both comforting and fascinating to spend time in Bonnie's house, because my mother-in-law is kind of, you know, sorting through her belongings and you know, trying to find special, meaningful homes for the things that she collected over the years. But you realize how much you can learn about someone by their stuff and the things they choose to collect and the things they choose to keep wrapped in paper and boxes in the basement and the things they choose to display. I know, eh? She had, like, the highest quality taste in things. And there are so many photos with her with dogs from over the years. Almost every picture she has dogs in it with her. She was a real animal classic. Lover and has lots of ceramic critters and real quality china and, like, stuff that is definitely from a time gone by, but really is a testament to a life well lived. It's neat.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Belle wrote every day in a ledger, right? So his whole life is in these stacks of papers that documenting everything. So that's pretty amazing too. He should I was saying to Paul, his son, they should put together a memoir of sorts from all the writings, you know, like the things that he did.
So, like, a detailed bullet form list of things he did every day, like went to the office at 9, had a boiled egg at 11, or, like, musings and thoughts about stuff?
No, both. Like, you know, explanation of what went down through the day, and if he had feelings, that too. You know what I mean? So just very expressive and so thorough. Man, like, I'm like, think about myself. I never was a diary guy.
Until now.
I think because if I... That's why I'm not crazy about photos either, because when I look at old pictures, I just feel sad. You know what I mean? Yeah, I don't get it. Cool. Like, I've never watched our video, like, from our wedding, still to this day. It just kind of makes me just feel sad how fast time spans and goes. So I just kind of get freaked out in a sense. So, but it's important to write down, I guess, what you think about and what happens, because you might forget. But I have always kind of kept everything in my brain, and I've always had a pretty good memory, I think, too. But eventually that's not going to be the case, you know.
Well, one of the things that we've been thinking a lot about with regards to Bonnie is it's nice to find meaningful things there. And my mother-in-law's extremely generous. Like, you should have that. I think she would love the idea of you having that or whatever. And at the same time, it would be nice if you gave these things to people in life.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, hey, I think you should have this. I'd love for you to have it, because it makes it so special when the person gave it to you. So there you go. Give your stuff away, Jer.
Yeah.
Give your stuff away to people.
Hey, we're less than a week from Christmas here. It's coming right up. This is the Christmas spectacular, I guess, right? That's what this would be.
I guess. What?
I sent you the video of that. I got video of that tree.
It's really startling. I mean?
Like, it's the craziest thing. I'm not lying. Like, it's moving like crazy, and it's not that windy out. Like, isn't that crazy?
I don't understand how it's moving around.
it's a huge tree, beautiful pine tree. You know, like the ones that's got the hanging down limb, like of each limb, like the leaves or not, whatever the on the pine. It's not sticking straight out; they're just hanging down. So it's this beautiful tree anyway, and it's probably like 30 feet tall, and it just starts going ape shit with the freaking lights, right? It's all over, shaking all over, and some parts not moving. Like, it's, you saw it, and I put it on Twitter. Like, you got to look at this thing. What the hell is that thing?
Like, is it is it that the lights are too heavy for the branches? Is that why?
No, because I've driven by in the daytime, and it's just sitting there, not moving. So I don't get it. There's no machinery or something, but it's moving.
Nighttime,
like,
spookies.
The thing has a life of its own.
It's really bizarre.
They've proven that plants communicate, right? Like, to each other and the ground. It's like there is a communication happening. This thing is speaking volumes and is basically ready to start taking it to the level of human chats.
What is it trying to say? There is...
it's partying. It's like, Merry Christmas, Ivan!
Or it's like the...
Happy
Holidays!
It does. It's moving around like those two alien dudes that come into the window at Ernie and Bert's.
When there was... when I was a kid at Micmac Mall in Halifax, there was Woody the Talking Christmas Tree. And he's this huge, tall, kind of scary-looking mask. And it's a big, like, tree with a face on it. And Woody the Talking Christmas Tree is back this year. You can Google it. It has a new face. Like, it's sort of been updated, but it is...
Is that the one in, like, Norway or whatever? Where is it?
No. It's at Micmac Mall in Dartmouth.
Oh, in Dartmouth.
Yeah.
What am I thinking? Isn't there one in Europe, like, that's famous? Or is that the one? That's famous.
I don't know.
The big,
I mean,
face.
I don't know if it's famous.
The
either.
Big tree.
Everyone knows about it. You should get some googly eyes and put it on that map.
Oh, I know, right? That tree is just taking it to a whole new level. I can't believe it.
Face up that it's map. Did you share it? Did you post it for the bots?
I did. I posted it and I retweeted it on the TNT right. Twitter, so you can,
it's so wild.
Can check it out. Maybe we'll post it again for the app on the gram too.
Do it. Okay, let's take a break, bud.
Let's take a break. Yellow.
You know what?
Yeah.
On our drive to and from Boston, we had a lot of time to listen to Christmas carols. And we have the satellite radio, so, you know, country Christmas for a while, and then Disney Christmas for a while, and then, like, Christmas classics. I have a new favorite Christmas carol.
You do?
Yeah.
Are the country ones like a... Here all don't count on a can of food, and it's a can of Santa on a Santa do. Is it like that?
Well, this is... we should actually... talk about the task of recording a Christmas album as a singer. Because there are people like Garth Brooks that have to bring the Garth Brooksiness to Santa Claus is Coming to Town. And some people you can tell just feel tortured, like I have to do this, so I'm doing it. But other people kind of find a way to make it work. Ed Sheeran and Elton John have a new Christmas carol. I don't normally like new Christmas carols, but I like this one.
You do.
The sentiment is basically, you know, it's there's been some pain this year, but it's time to let all that go and have a nice Christmas. Like, I like it. I like the music and production. It's really good.
All right.
Jimmy Fallon has this kind of novelty. Last Christmas, we were wearing masks, and this year we'll be in line for a booster with Ariana Grande and Megan Thee Stallion. I kind of feel like it's a first draft, but it's kind of catchy.
Okay.
So then last night on the drive, we're listening to Kenny and Dolly. And our buds, Fortunate Ones, do a great job of Christmas Without You. But I was listening to the Dolly Parton classic, Hard Candy Christmas. And I think it's my favorite Christmas carol because it combines all the melancholy and want with optimism and blessings for the season. And mostly what it has is her voice. You just believe it. You just believe everything she sings. So I asked you to cue it up. Can we listen to Hard Candy Christmas?
We can.
It's a bit of a bummer.
Is it a bummer?
A little bit at first.
So it's sad?
Well, she's thinking about stuff that she could do. But I want you to listen for the word tomorrow.
All right.
Yep.
Maybe I'll move somewhere.
Maybe I'll have you heard this song?
I've never heard it. She should have been the person of the year, by the way, not Elon Musk.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Maybe I'll sleep
late. Okay, so she's kind of musing, like maybe these are the things that I'll do.
Yeah.
It's from 1984. But wait till she hits the chorus. Maybe she'll get drunk on apple wine. Right? It's picking up steam. She's having a hard time, but wait till she hits tomorrow.
Yeah.
How about that?
She's crushing it. She hit like eight notes. Eight notes.
Just throwing it away. So the message in this song is, I'm having a real hard time. I'm living pretty close to the bone. Oh, here comes tomorrow again. Listen.
Yeah.
She won't let sorrow bring her down. You can stop it if you want.
Good jam. That's solid.
The thing about she hits tomorrow with different stank on it every single time, and every time it's equally meaningful.
Yeah.
Like she's really, I know people think she's great. She's really unbelievable.
She is.
As a vocalist, as a songwriter, as a human
person.
Being.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's just the best.
She's done so many things, and I can't even, like, people, the stuff that she probably does without telling anybody is the other thing, you know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly.
You can tell that she's a legend, absolute.
So I like that song because it combines all the things that I think a Christmas song should be. Sort of melancholy, pretty hopeful, and catchy.
It's crazy. Like if I look at this, for example, I'm looking at this like Christmas playlist, and I don't know any of these songs. And like it, I felt like Christmas was like you go back to the five CDs from, you know, for me it's like the Vince Guaraldi, Charlie Brown Christmas is a great album, great music, or the old
with Jerry Grinnelli from Halifax.
Yeah, or the old Nat King Cole or all the classic stuff. I dig that. But now, like, I don't know, who the hell is Shay? Is that a band?
I don't know. There's Dan and Shay.
Oh, okay. Dan and Shay is a band?
Yeah.
Are they country?
No, it's like, they're like a Soul Decision, but yeah, they're country. They're like Soul Decision. There's a little mafk and then a bigger mafk, and they harmonize. They're like the, ooh, it's kind of crazy.
Is it like Laurel and Hardy looking masks?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like Hall and Oates, but country and now.
Ernie and Bert, but country.
Yeah.
Like, what's
so some of the country, some of the country people try to have, that's their a cappella.
Is that country too?
No. I feel like they want a singing competition. They have, they do a nice version of Hallelujah, for example. I'm sure they have great Christmas songs.
Who's this
guy? I feel like for
Giveon. Who's that?
I have no idea.
Giveon.
I feel like John Legend, Michael Bublé. This is not for me.
Norah Jones.
She's a good Christmas voice, sure.
Last Christmas, Carly Rae Jepsen.
Sure.
Carrie Underwood, you like her, right?
I like Carrie Underwood.
John Legend.
John Legend, Michael Bublé. I'll tell you that Carrie Underwood singing "Jesus Take the Wheel."
These people make country albums every year, though. Like they're those types of artists. Like they every year they got a new country album or Christmas album.
Yes, right? But here's what I don't dig. I don't dig the "You better watch out, you better not, child." Like that, I'm gonna have some fun with it. Those vocal performances, like when they stray from the melody and just make it their own. Well, I don't dig that at all.
That's the thing. It's like, some of people, it's like, there's something annoying about a new song that nobody's heard about Christmas, in my opinion. Just because it's like you're thinking like, okay, I don't, because you could just do a cover of a classic, which is probably the move. But it's the people that think, no, I'm going to write my own Christmas song that's going to be better than one of these classics. And it's always not.
It's always not. I would like you to hear the Ed Sheeran Elton John one. I think it's pretty good. For a new carol, I think it's pretty good. Yeah, so, let's compare and contrast the new Ed Sheeran and Elton John one against the Jimmy Fallon one.
How come he's
let's
got
tee
so
them
many...
both up.
Okay, hang on. I'm going to get John and...
I think Jimmy Fallon's is called, like, I Wore a Mask Last Christmas or something. And you hear the first chorus and you're like, oh, okay. And then it never goes anywhere.
Here's the Ed Sheeran. Elton's gonna bust it here. Well, this is got those
catchy
bells,
right? Wait for it.
It kind of sounds like it reminds me of old
Elton. Right,
it's
not bad.
Where's Elton? Is he coming in?
Oh, he's coming in right now, baby. Right? Classic LT.
Merry Christmas!
Like, that's a good Christmas carol. I was surprised for a song that's new. Because I kind of have a bad attitude about new stuff. For a song that's new, that's a perfectly serviceable Christmas carol.
Yeah, but like, I don't know.
Your beef with Ed Sheeran is that he doesn't take musicians on tour and he just uses a looping rig.
He always does that?
Well, these days, yeah, I think he's booking stadiums.
He's just playing there with his, just taking all the money.
Yeah.
We don't need lights. Just give me one spotlight and a loop rig. You know, I'm good.
How hot does Elton come in, though? That in the catch. He's
so loud.
He's so loud.
He's demanding to be heard, right? Yeah.
Let's go. Partridge and Bear isn't the thing, let it go. Okay, now.
Where is he?
You'll know.
Here he comes. So when he's singing like in the booth, I want to see, like, is he doing the piano too? Like, just that's not there, but he's just
air
doing
piano,
his hands on it,
standing up.
Yeah, like
Merry Christmas.
I feel like he does that. Nervous Buster roll with the hands.
I have all the time in the world for Elton John, and I also have all the time in the world for Ed Sheeran, by the way. And did you know that Eminem and Elton John are really good buddies? When Eminem was accused of being homophobic, Elton John was like, no, he's not. He's just now. Get with it, guys. And then remember when Elton John performed the Dido part?
Yeah.
In like, he's gonna call the London line.
To try and get M back over.
Yeah.
He's like, I'll do the Dido bit and get you back.
It's like, no, but Dido's available. No, it's
I'll do it. He's got this big fancy sparkling piano.
And fur coat.
He's singing it all
my
tough.
Tea's gone cold, wondering why.
He's singing it like Saturday night's all right for fighting.
He's just giving her.
It's been it all. Ladies, been it's been it all. All I said it wrong.
So when Elton got married to Canadian David Furnish, Eminem sent them gold-encrusted bird rings on a velvet pillow.
Nice. Like rings for their birds or just bird rings?
No, like rings for your bird.
No. Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Come on.
Bird rings. Diamond encrusted bird rings. On a velvet pillow.
No way.
Yeah. It's a new Christmas and it's time to let it go. Oh, yeah. Bird ring spot.
Well, he moved to Stouffville, right? Like near where I used to live. We drove by his house, and I'm like, you just see him playing basketball. The circle of life! When he's throwing balls, like just shooting hoops alone. Singing random lines.
Is that true?
Yeah. I'm saying that he lived there, and there was like, you can see a basketball net.
Like lives or lived?
I think he sold it and they moved away, but they're still. I'm still standing, throwing like three bombers.
Skyhooks.
Alone.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Rolling like thunder. Under the car.
I didn't know they lived there.
Throwing big half courts.
Crazy. Well, they have kids, don't they?
I don't know, probably.
Merry Christmas.
Oh man, that's great.
I like the unlikely friendship.
Like 20 years ago, he said he was broke and then he had to go and tour a bunch, and I guess he's all set now.
He was broke?
Yeah, remember?
No, why?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess he was carrying like too many houses around the world, and that was too nuts. He was probably spending like quarter mil a month or something. Of course,
rolling with a big nut,
right? You can't. You got to make a lot of money to be living like that.
Well, wasn't 50 Cent? I thought he was broke too.
Yeah, well, I think he claimed bankruptcy and then, like, I don't know. It doesn't make sense because he was, like, laughing about it with stacks of cash on his Instagram.
Yeah, plus, didn't he bought in on the vitamin water.
Yeah, he sold his share in vitamin water, made millions. I don't know.
Hey, Jer, are you into the crypto, bro? Are you?
Bite coins? No, I don't have any. I'm old school.
Crazy.
Do you? Do you buy those things? You got the Bitcoins?
This guy I know said I should, even just because what if you never know? So I didn't go all in, but I put a tiny bit in just to see.
Yeah.
And? It's like a set it and forget it.
So
far I've lost a few hundred dollars.
That's classic. Right away.
But apparently I hitched my wagon to a rocket ship to the moon.
What was it, Dogecoin or something?
No, I'm not going to give it away, man.
You're not going to say? It's not a Bitcoin?
It's top secret.
It's not Bitcoins?
Well, it's in... Okay, you go to crypto.com, right?
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you open a profile and you tie it to your thing.
You're kidding.
No.
You're lying.
No, I'm not.
You are. So
I'm actually not.
You go there. You didn't do it like that. You just like talk to your financial guy and say, buy me some crypto?
Well, here's the thing. Like here's why Royal Bank is ahead of the curve.
That's the problem. You don't go to banks for financial advice. That's the problem right there.
Well, exactly. That's why you need the crypto, bro.
No, that's why you need the bro that knows how to make financial decisions outside of banks. Right. But
here's the thing. I am extremely with. I'm not a big investment guy. As you know, I like a home or a building that's tangible and you see it and you try to buy it in a place that you hope it's going to go up in value.
With
this
inflation,
isn't for me.
Crazy inflation, it makes sense to have real estate at this point.
Yes.
Yeah.
So any small amount of money that I did invest, Carol's dad is very conservative. He's like, the banks will never let you down. The utilities will never let you down. And so that is the kind of the slow and steady route. So you buy into Canadian banks. It's not going to be like I can retire today.
You won't lose your money, but you won't you're not going to lose your money, but you won't make. See, my issue with that and is I have a problem with inflation's getting so crazy that 5 years from now, 300 grand will be like 100 grand in the bank, as opposed to a house, which will go up in value. Or if you're in the market and you're making money instead of it just sitting there, you know what I mean?
Right.
Because inflation's so crazy that money just sitting in the bank, it's like it's not going to be worth as much because you're not making enough to make up for inflation. You know what I mean?
Okay.
It's actually going the wrong way.
This is good because I can use that as ammo for me trying to sell the idea of doing crazy things with money. So my point is, everything I have is very conservative.
Yeah.
So I like the idea of doing something a little crazy. I'm a roll the dice kind of person.
So
you and I both
crypto.
Like invested in Sidedoor, for example.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a maybe. It's a great idea that is maybe going to take off the way we know it should. I wanted to do something completely wild. So I just put a little bit of money into it, mostly because I haven't really been able to understand it until recently. And this is the way it was sort of explained to me. Property guys did for the consumer what Expedia did to travel agencies, right? It's like putting it in the hands of the people. So if you go to the bank, you want to wire money to England, it takes 24 hours, there's a service fee. In this day and age with technology, why is that the case? Why can't you just gork some money to someone what with the internet nowadays?
Well, so, you can't go into a bank and say, I want 10 grand, even though you have it in there. You have to make an order and wait for like a week.
Yes.
Yeah. It's crazy.
So this person's suggestion was that banking hasn't updated with the times. And I sort of understood that. Mm-hmm. And then the second part to that argument is they haven't done that because you need them to do this stuff. And if they have a service that they offer, then they can charge for that service. And that's how they make money.
Yeah.
One of the ways they make money. That makes perfect sense to me. So this is eliminating that sort of middle person and putting it in the hands of the people. I also fully am skeptical and wonder if it's a pyramid scheme and never expect to see this money again. But there is the tiniest what if in the back of my head. That's like, well, what if? It's not an amount of money that would be crippling if I never saw it again. Why wouldn't I?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing about those Bitcoin. It's like it can go up 10 grand, but then it can go down to, you know, 20 grand. And the only thing I don't like about it is just the amount of hard drives that are just sitting, mining, and just like, you know, spending enormous amounts of energy just sitting there and, you know, on a hard drive. Guys with, you know, huge warehouses full of hard drives just humming and crushing electricity.
Yeah, that's not cool.
No, like, especially if you're saying, well, here, you know, we're trying to eliminate paper money or whatever the hell the concept of initially was for cryptocurrency. I guess it's like you said, just to move money around quicker without the issue. But it's causing so much of a big black space in terms of the amount of energy it takes up. It's annoying. It's supposed to be good for the planet in that regard, but I guess not. I don't think it has anything to do with that. But I think I'm just naive to assume that that's why they started doing it.
Yeah, well, I'm naive too, and I didn't even know about that part of it till I was in.
Yeah,
and now I'm in so deep.
What? Get out of here!
So no, funny. I'm not in.
No, so we'll monitor your crypto thing, you know, find out if it's up or down. Like, that'll be fun to play.
All right.
Up or down game with crypto and Jonathan.
All right. Well, like I say, it's a small amount, but I should be able to retire in 6 weeks.
Blows up. Because you heard on Joe Rogan that it's awesome. So you're going all in.
So is Joe Rogan into the crypto?
I think so.
Oh, man,
that guy is just the biggest, like, man, he's just like a troublemaker, that guy.
Yeah.
He's like, you know what he is? He's like, remember when you're a kid and there's like the stupid stoner uncle guy that thinks he knows everything comes over and starts talking about
conspiracy theorist kind of guy?
You don't know nothing. You're about to do this and that. Remember that guy? And he goes back to his black lights in the basement, his bong. It's like, come on,
he's
dude.
So get lost. Powerful, though.
I know. I can't take it. It's too much. And the bros that will die for him, right? Online. What do you say about him? Fuck you! Right? Educate yourself! That's my
educate
favorite.
Educate yourself?
Yeah, that's my favorite when they say that. See this episode of Joe Rogan when his doctor comes on and talks about how vaccines don't do shit.
Is Joe Rogan anti-vax?
Well, he's kind of like the Fox News host. He's vaccinated and has done all that, but he's happy to talk about, like, you know, the issues going on, or someone got sick, or
right. And didn't he eat kangaroo placenta or something?
Yeah, he took all the right stuff and ivermectin, but that's all, you know, people talked about. Like, well, I took this, you know, just because it's good for killing viruses in animals or whatever other things. It is an actual thing that kills viruses. That doesn't mean it's for COVID, though. You know what I mean? It has nothing to do with that. He took all these other things that, and he probably wasn't that bad a case of COVID, But just to kind of throw it out there, and you get people talking about the only thing that he took is this horse stuff. But like, the bottom line is just the guy's hilarious. Like, he's just one of those, like Alex Jones and all those other people. They'll just, they like to stir it up by bringing people on, and then all of a sudden it's so popular, these opinions become facts. You know,
like, how, I don't understand how the host of Fear Factor
isn't it like 3 hours every episode, and there he just gets like wasted and yeah, but does bong reps?
He does one every day, right?
I know.
Does he do an episode every day?
Yeah. And I'm telling you, people that are fans out there, like, come on, Jared, just watch it, listen to it. I don't know, man. I'm not feeling it. No thanks. Like, that guy was a comedian forever, but I've never seen him to say anything funny in my life. You know what I mean? Like, I remember he, as a comedian, the most famous thing I remember was, like, he outed Carlos Mencia. Like, you know what I mean? Like, oh, he's stealing jokes from everybody. That's the only thing I know about that guy in comedy. Because he's certainly not funny. I've seen some stand-up, and it's just, like, stupid observations.
Wait, and Joe Rogan was a stand-up?
He is a stand-up. He still does stand-up.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, like, what?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Joe Rogan explains how men are like cats.
Yeah,
that's
there you
the,
go.
That's the default, like, men are like cats, women are like, that's so hack.
That's what I'm saying. It's like the guy at the party, like, where you're like, oh man, I think I feel like I'm getting a migraine. I'm going home. Do you think you could find a tighter t-shirt too? Like, I think there's a tighter one. Go out there. There's a thinner, tighter shirt, I think.
So did he go from Fear Factor to
comedy?
The martial arts thing, though?
Well, because he's a host.
Made
he's
him,
a,
right?
Well, he was on, initially, wasn't he on that show with News Radio? He was on that show as an actor. So he's an actor.
He was?
Yeah, he's an actor and a host of television shows. So that's how he's got the UFC gig.
But oh,
he's
my
always
gosh.
Been like MC, host, comedian, actor, muscle guy.
I should revisit News Radio, because Foley's obviously Ricks. Funny, and Phil Hartman is funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
Andy Dick. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, man. Anyway, bro Rogan.
I remember seeing, who's the host of Survivor? Jeff Probst. I remember seeing him at a, like, Chipotle on Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah. Like,
oh, that's that guy from Survivor.
What was the vibes?
Like, jacked.
Yeah?
He was like, jacked.
Like, I remember I saw Fred Durst at a diner in, like, L.A., and he came in, like, high-fiving the guy in the back, and like, hey, let's go, yeah, man, I'm here. Like, just, it's like, everyone has to know Fred Durst just came in. You know what I mean? Like, just like,
I'm kind of two minds on that, because I appreciate him giving props to the kitchen folks.
Well, no, just anyone there, like, yo, hey, what's up? And then the, like, loud sit down, you know, the presence was just like, you gotta know I'm here or else I'm not, you know, you can't handle it.
Dursty.
The Dursty, thirsty, Dursty.
Who of any celebrity you've ever witnessed in the wild takes up the most space like that? Who's the most like, oh, here comes Hurricane.
Oh man, there's a lot
so-and-so.
Of them.
So-and-so. Like Mario Lopez doing push-ups before he does a live hit on Extra from the Grove, like that.
Totally. I can't, like, I know a lot of musicians that are annoying like that, but I don't want to out them as being so, because it's kind of mean.
What if, like, they're American?
Well, I've heard about, like, stories of guys being dicks, but then you say it, and then it's like all of a sudden they hear, hey, what are you saying, talking about me? You
right.
Know what I mean? So I don't know. I don't want to touch it. Forget it.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's probably the right move.
Yeah.
I saw the only person I've ever sensed before I saw them was Julia Roberts. Did I ever tell you that?
Oh, he could sense vibe like someone.
Yeah, like light. It was wild. I was walking down Abbot Kinney in Venice and sensed this, like, it sounds crazy, but aura, and looked over in the window and she was sitting there having a tea or something. I'm like, wow, you hear that about that kind of movie star quality.
Yeah.
It was neat to see.
Well, I was at a Lakers game. It was like a playoff Lakers game, and I went into the green room and Jack Nicholson was there and Leonardo DiCaprio. And I was like, these guys are famous. You know what I mean? Like, just like that. Jack was watching some sports and he's like, I love these guys. And I was like, fucking, that's guy's so fucking famous. It's like,
okay, but that's actually, you know, Jack, I mean? Nicholson though.
Yeah, no, but the vibe, like you said, there's just like, there's just like pouring off of them. Like, man, there's no denying that those guys aren't something going on there.
So were Leo and Jack hanging together?
Not really, no. But like you could tell they knew each other, that. But yeah, I just thought it was so funny how Jack was like, I love these guys, looking at the TV.
But it wasn't the Lakers game?
Yeah, I don't know if it was like another team or like it was. I can't remember what it was, but I just remember him saying that with the Jack face and the big smile. I was like, man, that's awesome.
Like the cat that ate the canary.
Yeah, just seeing Jack Nicholson being that guy.
You know what we should do, bud? We should do a bonus episode this week with the holiday hum off and all the usual holiday stuff, because we didn't get to any of it.
I know, we didn't get to any holiday hum-offs, but yeah, maybe a short episode of with some hum-off and some gamage. How about that?
I love it. And the passive-aggressive Christmas.
Yeah, yeah. Let's do it. It'll be like a little half-banger, but it'll come out this week. Super fun alert. All right, bud. Good one.
Good job, bud.